May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer.
Amen.
History does not exactly repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes, to paraphrase Mark Twain. As human beings, we construct stories. To explain the world we experience to ourselves and to one another. This is the way we build meaning and purpose into our lives. But there are always competing stories to tell. There are always, to use a current slogan, facts, and then there are alternative facts. To add complexity, there's also more than one way to tell the same story. Again, there's news, and there's fake news. We construct meaning and purpose into our lives as we make choices between competing, clashing, and conflicting stories, each vying for our attention and demanding our allegiance. So the question is, which stories will you choose? From among bewildering possibilities, which stories will matter most to us? Palm Sunday offers a snapshot of the clash of storylines. Palm Sunday is the beginning of a series of snapshots from Jesus' last week in Jerusalem before the Passover. On Good Friday, we will arrive to stand before the image of a dying man on the cross. Each Holy Week snapshot is like a prism refracting our associations into countless mirror images of our lives. The snapshots of Jesus' last week in Jerusalem before his death at a particular turning point in history are also timeless mirrors of the clash of history's repetitive cycles of sacred violence, a storyline as old as human memory. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday, we experience the repetitive cycles of human inhumanity. Sacred violence is violence inflicted to protect a storyline of empire. I'm defining empire as any unrestrained exercise of power in defense of a set of deeply held cultural, political, or religious beliefs. Usually the motivation to sacred violence drinks from the intoxicating cocktail of all three. From Rome to rule Britannia, and Europe's legacy of colonial violence, from the revival of Putin's dream of the Russian Imperium, to the legacy of America's own manifest destiny. History does not exactly repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. Emotionally and spiritually moved by our passage before the snapshots of Holy Week's violence, we will eventually arrive at a different story, a new story, a bigger and better story, the unlikely story of Easter. Yet, we're some way off. In the snapshot of Palm Sunday, we witness the clash and confusion of three storylines. The first is the Jewish storyline of national liberation. The waving of palms is a significant echo from the crowd's Jewish collective memory, a particular echo of an episode in the ancient national story. 160 years before, the triumphant Judas Maccabeus, the last leader of a successful Jewish rebellion against empire, led his victorious partisans into the temple, which the Syrian tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes had defiled by placing his own statue in the Holy of Holies. Using palm branches, the Maccabean partisans cleansed and rededicated the sanctuary after its defilement. And on entering the Holy of Holies, they discovered miraculously the last light of the menorah still burning, an event Jews today commemorate in the festival of Hanukkah. The more recent Jewish history of national liberation found a powerful amplification in the more ancient story, Israel's founding story of liberation, the Passover. Inhabiting the storyline of national liberation, the crowds ecstatically welcomed Jesus into the city. But they were in the wrong story, as they quickly discover, resulting in their disillusionment and anger. Jesus may be the Messiah, but his storyline is God's, not theirs. At the same time as Jesus was entering the city from the east, another storyline was unfolding as a second triumphal procession wound its way into the city from the west. The Roman procurator Pontius Pilate, at the head of his Roman legion, had also come up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Pilate much preferred the sea breezes and all mod cons of Herod the Great's former capital on the coast at Caesarea Maritima, now the administrative center of the Roman occupation of Judea. Pilate loathed Jerusalem. He feared its ancient rabbit warrens, seething with civil and religious discontent. He most feared the pilgrim throng crowding into the city for Passover, swelling the city's normal population of between 20 and 30,000 to well over 150,000. The stability of Roman imperial rule required Pilate to come up to the city to show a preemptive force to forestall any potential for insurrection. Passover was Israel's founding story of liberation from slavery. Pilate's arrival was indeed a wise move, for the crowds hailing Jesus saw him as the Messiah. But the Messiah in the wrong story. In the week leading to the celebration of Passover, we see with hindsight the lethal intersection of competing storylines. There's the storyline of imperial domination, of political violence, intersecting with the storyline of populist resistance and the longing for national liberation. And both are confronted by a third storyline concerning the next installment in the epic narrative of God's vision for the world through Israel. The clash of storylines results in a chain of events that takes an unexpected turn, rapidly spiraling out of anyone's control. On Good Friday, we will revisit the twin themes of deliberative courage and the confrontation with sacred violence, the violence of empire. But on Palm Sunday, that is still several snapshots away. History does not repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. Holy Week is the week during which we accompany Jesus on his journey to the cross. For some of us, this can be an intensely personal experience, as our own experience of loss and suffering surface in identification with those of Jesus. For most of us, however, the nature of Holy Week experience is less personal and more communal. As liturgical Christians, we journey with Jesus as a community through liturgy. Each liturgical step along the way. Each snapshot is a prism refracting our own individual suffering and our identification with the overwhelming suffering of the wider world. And liturgy is the transport, conveying us together through sacred time. In sacred time, there is no past and there is no future. There is only the eternal now. We move beyond memory, becoming in present time participants in the events that engulf Jesus and echo across time into our current experience. An experience where we are well acquainted with the violence currently unleashed in Ukraine and countless other places across the globe. History does not exactly repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. So you see, choosing the right story to explain the world to ourselves is crucial. Unlike the crowds on Palm Sunday, we do not want to find ourselves in the wrong story. Choosing the wrong story, as the crowds discovered, leads only to disillusionment and the impoverishment of hope. Like the crowds praising Jesus as he entered the holy city, we enthusiastically hail our next political savior until that is he or she no longer is. We long to do the courageous thing, until that is the moment when we don't. In sacred time, we become participants with Jesus, as if we too are part of the band of disciples during the eventful last week. And with the disciples, we will share in the breaking of Jesus' Passover bread, and we will drink from his Passover cup. With the disciples, we will accompany Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we too will fight sleep to keep watch with him through the night and into the early hours of Friday morning. With the disciples, we will follow Jesus on the way of his suffering, for like them, we will long to do the courageous thing until the moment when we won't. History does not exactly repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. Amen.